Welcome, everybody, to the Denver Intergroup Celebration of OA's Idea Day. It stands for International Day of Experiencing Abstinence.
My name is Carrie, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your leader for this celebratory meeting.
Hi, Carrie.
If you didn't know, the restrooms are just down the hall to the left. No, on the right. Thank you. Straight here, straight across the hall. So let's see, and then beverages are over here. Please feel free to get up at any time. We will take a little break halfway through our meeting. We are recording today's meeting, so if you are doing a reading or anything, we'll bring this to you. And if you wish to remain anonymous, please feel free to use a fictitious name or let us know that you would not like to be recorded. This recording gets added to our collection of podcasts on our oadenver.org site. It's a great resource to find your local fellowship outside of a live meeting. So Idea Day is organized by OA Worldwide. It encourages OA members to begin or reaffirm our abstinence from compulsive eating and behaviors. So as we begin, we'll take a moment of silence just to kind of pause and let people get settled in. As we extend the heart and the hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences and unites us in a solution to our common problem. Whatever your problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting, regardless of race, creed, nationality, religion, gender identity, or sexual orientation, or any other trait. And here's our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. We're going to join together in reciting the 12 steps upon which our recovery is based. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is the result of living OA's 12-step program. So for our focus today, it's on how abstinence is a gift that keeps on giving. And let's just pause for a moment and consider that phrase. Just allow yourself to absorb that phrase. And I'll say it again. abstinence is a gift that keeps on giving. So saying our approved statement on abstinence again, feel into this. Abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Take a deep breath together. Exhale. That's it. Not more, not less. Abstinence is personal. There is no one definition for abstinence. Some among us have needed a variety of attempts before reaching a personal definition, while others among us have concluded that an immovable and rigorous definition is quite the opposite of a successful personal definition. And others still have no definition and are continuing to seek. So I invite us to take one full minute of stillness now to reflect on our own individual absences and what, if any, that definition might be.
Okay, thank you. Great. We're always thinking of it. Let's do that.
Yeah. So, seventh tradition. Why don't we go ahead and pass the basket around for seventh tradition while we're doing that? We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organizations. I'm just doing an ad lib, can you tell? Okay. Great. So, do you want to finish collecting those for me?
Yeah.
Thank you. If anybody has anyone they'd like to. So, we're going to hear for some readings today from conference-approved literature, which are meant to serve as a springboard for topics of sharing. So as we share our experience and strength in OA and how the readings speak to you about your abstinence, please also share your hope. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Examples of crosstalk include giving advice to others who've already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than the group, and questioning or interrupting the person who's speaking at the time. So let's just go around the room and introduce ourselves. My name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Julia, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Julia. I'm
Peggy, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Peggy.
I'm Kim, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Lindsay.
I'm Jan, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Jan.
I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater, bulimic.
Hey, Kathy.
I'm Becky, compulsive overeater, sugar addict.
Hey, Becky.
I'm Don, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Don.
I'm A, sugar addict, bulimic.
Hey, Amy.
I'm Michelle, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm Lorraine. I've been known to be a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lorraine.
I'm Melinda. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict.
I'm Melinda.
All right. Welcome, everybody. So our first reading comes from for today. It's October 12th or 10th, and Dawn is going to be our first reader.
Yay.
Thanks, Dawn.
For today, October 10th. You never know what is enough, but you never know what is more than enough. William Blake. So, I have head my lesson in excess, eating more than enough to satisfy emotional longing, became a compulsion, cunning, baffling, powerful, and incurable. Today, I find great comfort in knowing and accepting my limits and saying, yes, I have had enough for today, because I am unable to discipline myself with good, I depend on a power greater than myself to guide me. For this, I maintain conscious contact with a God as I understand God, and I share my experience with others who suffer as I do. For today, in prayer and meditation, and in communication with other compulsive overeaters, I find the ability to distinguish enough from
beyond me.
Surfeit in food as in other things.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
So we're going to open the floor. If anybody feels moved to share on that reading, we'll just take a few different shares before we move to the next reading.
Hi, I'm Jan, and I'm in recovery today. Happy to be here. So when I heard this reading, kept on thinking, well, okay, so you don't know when it's more than enough until you indulge, or until, you know, there's an indulgence, and then it comes to surface that it's too much. And I can really see that there's been behaviors in my life that is just too much, and I get lost. I can do that with work, I can do it with food, I can do it in a conversation, taking too much time in a conversation and not ending it when it should, or thinking, what is my purpose here, or what's going on, I just get lost. And I think that's one thing with addiction that happens, is that I can't predict when I'll be found again once I start in the too much, in the land of too much, or the land of excess. And it's really good for me to reflect on this. I really appreciate that reading. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jan.
Hi, I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater, bulimic.
Hi.
I think that this is something that I've really kind of struggled with over the last several months, because I'm trying to find that balance of how many calories can I eat a day and maintain where I'm at, and what's too much and what isn't enough, to maintain a healthy lifestyle. And I've really, really struggling trying to find out exactly where that is. Still trying to maintain my abstinence from trigger foods and things like that. But you just don't know until you go overboard and then, you know, start to gain the weight back, that's too much, you know. So it's a real balancing act, and I'm finding that's something that I'm really trying to figure out right now, and I'm still haven't found the sweet spot, and I'm not quite sure how to find it. So thanks.
Amy, sugar addict, bulimic.
Hi.
Hi. I just love that land of too much. I love words like that because I can hold on to it. I still struggle with that. And like what was shared, in living in excess, living with too much joy, too much activity. You know, when I came into program, my life was so bland and blank because it was just food. I was binging and purging. I was drinking, and that took up a lot of time. And when I got abstinent finally, all this time and no clue what to do with it. So been trying to, over the years, develop things to do that are finding out what's satisfying, what is not. And when something's satisfying, as an addict, I want more. You know, that's just the nature of what it is. And so checking in, I think that's the cool thing recovery's given me. It's given me an ability to be kinder in my observation and my experience with that, because I used to just judge myself for being so lost and so pathetic. With the food, there's that scary place where I will eat and then I think, should I stop now or not? And practice is made better where I can actually stop and wait, because it's funny, if you wait a few minutes, I didn't know this was true,
that all of a sudden it kind of catches up with you, and then I can have a feeling of, oh, I need more, or I'm satisfied. This program's given me the willingness to try new things, because my heart's desire is really just to eat enough or to have enough. And I also like the part about conversation where I talk too much or everything. That's just the nature of who I am. But again, the beauty about recovery is that I can have compassion and I can be a better friend to myself as I seek a better way of existing in this world without food. So thanks.
I'm Lindsay. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Lindsay.
Hi. Two things came up for me when I was hearing this reading. One was I heard a woman in program once talk about a fence around a yard for like a two-year-old that, you know, giving lots of freedom, but there's a container, there's a boundary, and thinking of that as the enough, or yeah, that beyond the fence was too much, but the fence provided a space for enough. And I'm not great with boundaries, so abstinence has given me, you know, that fence. You know, there's plenty of room within that space. That's enough. And then the other thought I thought of was I'm a singing coach, just one of my things I do, and I always teach students to get to their limits, to sing to their highest note, to their lowest note. Not that you're going to sing that's like the too much note. it's not going to sound good, and I let them know that. But the one right below it is going to be one that we're going to work on, or the one right above it and the low end we're going to work on. So again, it gives it that container that, you know, you have to know your limits before you know what you can do in that big space of enough. So those are my two thoughts on this topic.
The next reading that we have is a little bit longer, and so there are four people that have, so it's readers 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we're going to go ahead and, so I think Melinda, you're first.
Okay, great. Abstinence is easier. It is generally accepted that most compulsive overeaters go through a period of looking for an easier, softer way. Does this mean that abstinence is harder? Not at all. What it means is that before we can accept our illness, we try to prove that, like normal eaters, we can occasionally eat for purely social reasons, for pleasure, for pick-me-up, or to pass the time. For compulsive overeaters, such a feat is neither easy nor hard. It is impossible. In Overeaters Anonymous, we find, to our everlasting relief, that abstinence is easier. Here's why. When I am abstinent, I get to eat satisfying and nourishing food at mealtimes, one day at a time. When not abstinent, I eat all kind of junk I don't really want, and I cannot stop. Hmm.
Becky, do you have number two?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold it for you.
Thank you. When I'm abstinent, I get to be hungry at mealtime and enjoy my food. When I've finished my meal, I know I'm through eating. When not abstinent, I wolf down everything in sight with nothing to put a stop to my eating until I become full to the point of feeling sick or fall into a stupor. When I'm abstinent, I get to feel good regardless of my size or weight. I wake up with a light, thankful feeling and look forward to a new day, free from the bondage of the scale. When not abstinent, I wake up feeling fat and dreading the day ahead. I punish myself further with the scale, which determines how I will feel about myself that day.
Are you three? Thank you.
When I'm abstinent, I get to choose clothes that look and feel good. When not abstinent, only my biggest, most hated clothes fit, and they bind and feel uncomfortable. When I'm abstinent, I get to go to bed feeling thankful that I abstained just for today. When not abstinent, I go to bed feeling stuffed, hating myself, and resolving to do something on that day that never comes tomorrow. When I'm abstinent, I get to live life, enjoy my children, make rational decisions, do what I need to do. When not abstinent, I isolate from family, friends, and other people, and I go around in circles. Fat, misery, and despair stick to me like glue.
When I'm abstinent, I get to feel positive emotions, and I have the desire to make contact with a power greater than myself. When not abstinent, I have only negative emotions, and I feel that nothing, not even a higher power, can get in. Abstinence is easier because all I have to do is accept my disease and surrender, and, just for today, not take that first compulsive bite. When not abstinent, I am insanely willful, feeling deprived, envious, and resentful. I'm insatiable, even though I know food cannot give me what I'm looking for. Abstinence is easier because it breaks open my cocoon, releases me from the bondage of food, and sets me free to live. When not abstinence, I'm locked in the prison of my food obsession, wanting freedom but looking only for more food. God, please let me accept abstinence just for today, and thank you for this easier way.
So again, we're going to open it up for sharing on those readings, and if you'd like to that person maybe to hand you the reading, if that's helpful, we'll just open it up for sharing.
I'm Julia, compulsive overeater. I really like that reading because I can really relate to just the difference that you feel between being abstinent and not being abstinent. And I remember my first food plan that I was on and my first sort of like abstinence that I had was very restrictive. And not necessarily in a bad way, but just it was like I measured everything. Everything was written down on a piece of paper. It was very prescriptive. And while that helped me get abstinent, it's not the way that I do my food plan today. Today, it's a little, like, it's still within the guidelines, but there's a little more freedom there. But in order to get to where I am today, I had to have that really prescriptive food plan, I think, because that helped me figure out what the boundaries were on, like, what I could and couldn't have, what 12 ounces of vegetables looks like, and things like that. But, yeah, and I remember I always felt like something was being taken away from me when I was on that first sort of like really restrictive food plan. And I remember telling my therapist, like, food's my best friend. Like, you can't take this away from me. And it was food and alcohol, to be fair. So it was like all that I did in my free time was drink or eat. And so I felt like that was being taken away from me. But when I look back now, everything that I've been given in exchange for that, it's incredible. My life has only gotten bigger and better, and I've only met more amazing people. And like, my life would not be as big as it is now if I were still in the food. And so while I felt like I was sacrificing so much at the beginning, abstinence has really given me numerous gifts that I can't even count. So with that, I'll pass.
Amy Sugaratic-Lamick. I identify with what was just shared in terms of when I first came in. I just felt lower than the rest of you guys because I was bulimic and a laxative abuser and drinking. And so I felt unique. And there weren't a lot in program. And I was close to a normal weight. My body was just shutting down. So I didn't need to be on a losing weight plan. And so to find an abstinence was just really a struggle because I just felt bad no matter what I did. I couldn't win, which is part of my thinking. I just can never win. So somebody said to start where you can start, and that was just invaluable information. So as many of you have heard the boring story of the or saga of the last three suppers, I ate three huge meals a day, but I part of my abstinence was keeping it in, being responsible, and having space between my meals. And also giving up sugar. Sugar made me not want to be abstinent. So that's how I realized it was a drug. And I really missed the sugar and I really missed the bulimic behavior because it was the way I coped. And I didn't, when that was removed, it was a quandary. How do you have that best friend or coping mechanism removed because you just feel so naked in life, like not knowing how to function? And I came to enough meetings where I was able to hear, just for today, are you willing to go to any length, including riding bareback naked on a horse down Colfax, just for today? And I know that was dramatic, which I liked, but that kept me when those blank moments came where I need more, I'm going to die if I don't eat, I'm going to die if I don't go, all of that.
I kept imagining that horse and go, okay, just for today. And I still fell flat on my face for 8 or 9 months every day. It got worse. It got so much worse. But then that moment happened. And so today, too, my abstinence is very free. And sometimes I feel guilty for that. Like I left the club, you know, like you're supposed to be really rigid and you're supposed to yada yada. I have so much freedom with food today, and I never expected to have it. Never yearned. I was willing to stay with my three suppers there. My thing grew with my relationship with a higher power, I'm not afraid of the food anymore. It doesn't call to me almost ever. But I know in my head, and that's, I'm grateful that I can go right back to where I was a few years ago and remember that mental insanity of I've got to eat. I have to eat. I'm going to die. And this program is a testament that I was able to weather that and move on. So, thank you.
Carrie, compulsive overeater. I really liked the way the reading was kind of like the yin and the yang, like the positive and the negative. When I'm in the food, I'm insane. Obviously, when I'm out of the food, I have sanity. I'm a whole person. The reading said, I get to be hungry and enjoy my food. And I think when I first came into program, I thought, you know, great, I'm weighing and measuring. There's not going to be anything exciting about my food. But it's quite the opposite now, where I really take the time to make colorful, beautiful food that I know I love. And so when I get to eat my food, I really get to enjoy it. And I've watched my thinking just recently that, you know, it's like, wow, I'm really liking this a lot. My husband would be like, it's neutral. It's just fuel. You know, be careful there. Don't go crazy. And I'm like, no, this is great. Like I'm, you know, so there's that. I think there's, as an addict, there's a fine line of, you know, is this causing an effect? You know, am I getting that sense of ease and comfort that comes at once from taking that bite? Or am I just enjoying it because I know it's going to give me the energy to show up and be the better person and have the awakening that's promised after, you know, doing these steps? So when I'm not abstinent, you know, everything, like when my clothes don't fit, you know, I'm constantly thinking about that feeling, you know, or I'm constantly thinking about like the scale, like what's it going to say? I want to get on it more times than I've, you know, made in a commitment to my sponsor to do it once a month. Abstinence just, for me, my life is so much easier, and it really starts to break down some of the beautiful little slogans that we have of like, just keep it simple. You know, my food is simple. When I eat, you know, it's not like crazy hours. It's very, you know, I keep it the same. There's been a few mornings where I don't really want my breakfast right away, but you know, I've committed to just doing that before I leave the house. So it's, I'm going to, and then, you know, once I sit down, of course I'm going to want it. It's just this mind game, right? So, yes, abstinence keeps me whole and sane. So thanks. Pass. Thanks.
Hey, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Somewhere over here when the reading was happening, I think you talked about lots of joy from being abstinent. And what I think of is my, like that first 5 pounds that comes off when you're first, for me, when I was initially abstinent. And feeling like I could dance around the living room and I was lighter. It was about being light or something over there. And regardless of the number on the scale, I mean, you know, for the 5 pounds below with my top weight was not a pretty weight for a lot of people. But for me, in that moment, it was like there was joy. There was a sense of lightness. I still wasn't being able to wear clothes that fit better and everything, but I still felt it on the inside. I was, you know, using bigger clothes to hide because that's a great way to do that too, which I've learned my extra weight was partly for, but I loved feeling that joy. And this is only the second time I started in
I kind of went through a relapse, but kind of like over years, kind of the weight just kept creeping back on. But at the convention, the birthday party convention I went to in January was the big turnaround for me and recommitting. And I just, numbers-wise, I've lost 26 pounds since then. And there's a lot of joy. There's, you know, it's not a, there's just a lot of joy. And I'd experienced abstinence like this once before, about maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I'd lost weight. And it's the working the step part that, just so you know, my experience is it's the working the steps part, not the, the food plan necessarily, but they all work together to make each one happen. So I'm just glad that over time, you know, I still do a lot of dancing around the living room, and I feel good, and even that word sexy and that word, you know, whatever, playful. And who knew? Anyway, abstinence, it wasn't in the reading, but it was, but it's still true for me. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jan, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I really like this reading, too, because of the contrast. You know, when I'm abstinent, it's, this is happening. There's joy. And when I'm not abstinent, it's this. The clothes don't fit and all of that. And it's such a large contrast. And I can honestly say that I really don't think it should be that way. I think it should be kind of okay to do a little this and that, you know, like you're, you know, kind of abstinent and that sort of thing. It's just like you're kind of pregnant and it doesn't work that way. So I'm coming to terms with that. For me, it's an on or off switch, and I really don't like that. But I'm going to just have to deal with that and choose abstinence because it's just a so much better of a life. And there is a lot of joy and laughter, and there's a lot of pain the other way, especially in health conditions. And, you know, eventually knowing if I continue on with this track that I'm doing that, you know, there will be health concerns to pay for. And, you know, I'm just glad that we're having this conversation because rarely would you have a conversation like this. And this is something that is very precious. I'm really grateful for it.
Thanks to Melinda and Becky and Amy and Michelle for that reading. And then our next reading comes from For Today. And I think Kathy is going to read that for us. Okay, great. And just before you read, Kathy, I just had a thought in terms of all of us are kind of moving into the trifecta of eating. That's what we, you know, the Thanksgiving and then the Christmas and the New Year's. We already got through Halloween, so that's kind of in there. But just, you know, this, just be thinking about how important our abstinence is this time of year. So thanks.
For today, December 31st, the means by which certain pleasures are gained bring pains many times greater than the pleasures. Epicurus. There is no telling what price I may have to pay for breaking my abstinence just this once. It could be nothing at all, or a trip back to the pits of compulsive overeating. But the truth is, I do not have to take that chance. It is irrational to feel guilty about refusing food and drink that I don't want. If absolutely pushed to the wall, I can say, I'm sorry, it doesn't agree with me. Which is all too true. I have already paid dearly for the pleasures of compulsive overeating. Then, when I could no longer pay the price, I surrendered, admitted my powerlessness, and turned myself over to the power that still directs my life. For today, no holiday dinner, no party, no celebration can persuade me to give up the freedom I enjoy as long as I am abstinent.
Thanks, Kathy. Same thing here. We're going to go around if anyone would like to share on that reading.
I'll make one comment. I've learned to say when there's things that people are trying to get me to eat, I just say, that's not my food. It doesn't belong to me. And
people lay off. It's surprising, you know, instead of, you know, feeling like you're being discourteous or, you know, somebody's gone to a lot of work to make a special dish that they think that you like or that you used to eat a lot of, and they expect that you're going to, to partake in it. But it's surprising that people don't give you as hard a time as you think they're going to.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm a compulsive reader. There's a couple things that really struck me in that reading. The first is when I was early in program, maybe 2 or 3 months, I was lucky enough to be blessed with the gift of abstinence, and it felt great, of course, right? Of course it feels great. I wasn't attracted to my trigger foods. I didn't feel like overeating until I didn't feel well. I just was neutral and beyond pleased that I could just feel normal for a short period of time. But during that period, I would run into something that was one of my trigger foods, or there would be some other behavior that would crop up that was, you know, previously in my repertoire of eating behaviors. And I would think, well, I could just have a little of that now because I'll feel this way again. I will get this abstinence again. It's okay. I know it because I have it right now. So if I eat X, it's cool. Wrong. And I knew it intellectually all along that if you give up the gift, it's sometimes very hard to get it back. And I'm learning that lesson again. And it stinks. And I'd like to say I will never, ever, ever take that for granted ever again. And I hope that's true. And I hope that the gift of abstinence returns in short order so I can enjoy those gifts. And then the other thing is on the reading, the holiday parties and, you know, festivities and all that different stuff, the celebrations that occur between Thanksgiving and New Year's really don't bother me. Never have. Because being in a room full of 30 people rejoicing and drinking and eating isn't really my thing. But when I get home from that party, watch out. Because I don't want any of those people to see what I'm doing. Why would I do that at a party? It just doesn't bother me at all. So if someone said, here, take this food home, then I've got to be able to say, no, can't do that. So I'll be home, or maybe I won't even go to the party, because why? I can't eat there. You know, I'm trying not to drink there. Alcohol leads to the food every time. So learning these behaviors, pitfalls, and that kind of thing has been critical to me. Because in the past, you know, I just thought it was all good. And once I got home, I was safe. And that's not the case for me. That doesn't work that way for me. So now that I know it, I could be more careful in preparing for the getting home piece. Because it's the party piece is no problem. No problem at all. Thanks.
I'm Carrie, also overeater.
Hi, Carrie.
The part that jumped out at me was the, I'm sorry, it doesn't agree with me. I love the, it's not my food, but for some reason, that doesn't roll off my tongue, I think, as easy as it might be to like, yeah, that doesn't agree with me. I don't know if I've necessarily heard that, but I'm going to use that one. I feel like there's been times in my recovery where my sponsor will be, you know, bring me back to step one of, are you really a compulsive overeater? You know, and I'll be like, maybe there's that 1% of me that thinks I'm a normal eater. And that's why I'll order something at a restaurant and not ask what's in the ingredients, you know, and then it'll get me in trouble. So it's that going back to step one, I am a real compulsive overeater. I have to own it and know it. And when I'm at a party, be willing to say, you know, doesn't agree with me. It doesn't, that, yeah, I can't do it. It doesn't agree with me. Because I think in saying that, it's really a step one. I'm powerless. I'm not going to say to that person, I'm powerless over food. My life becomes unmanageable. Right? which I really wish I could just be totally open and honest. I'm going to take step one with you right now. You know, that souffle that you have right there is not going to work for me. But I think that that's the gift. The gift is knowing that one of my practices is when I wake up in the morning, I say step one in my mind. And I just love the fact that step one is we, you know, I'm not alone in this. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives become unmanageable. And so the fact that someone's going to offer me something, you know, sorry, that doesn't agree with me. Like, how simple is that? There's no guilt or shame or on the person. That it's clear cut. It's boundary setting. You know, there's so much freedom in that, but I get to practice it. So I'm really grateful for this reading. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Julia, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Julia.
Talking about just like celebrations and social events, got me thinking about a wedding that I went to recently, and I wasn't expecting it to be as challenging as it was. Because there was this weird lull between like the actual ceremony and the dinner. I think some people call it cocktail hour, which is when the drinking and the food happens, which I was unaware of because I don't go to a lot of weddings. And so I was at this wedding in Kentucky for a friend from college. And so I knew her and her boyfriend, and that's about it. So for me, that's really difficult because I don't like talking to other humans and I don't like feeling awkward and feeling like I don't know anyone, and everyone that I did know is outside taking photos. So I tried to have a conversation with one person and it ended up being her brother, and I somehow offended him because I didn't know who he was. So then I gave up on that. But I was in this really weird space of like, okay, so I can't go to the bar and get a drink. I can't eat this weird like cocktail hour food because we're about to have dinner. And I had just quit smoking cigarettes because this was about 3 months ago. And I just quit smoking. And that was like my go-to. I feel awkward. I'm going to eat. I'm going to get a drink. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. And I couldn't do any of those things. And so I went to the bathroom like 4 times in a row. And then I was standing there like, this is crazy. Like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just be here? And so I called a fellow and I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. And she's like, you're doing what you're supposed to do with yourself. You're supposed to call someone. You're supposed to ask for help. You're supposed to like do anything you need to do to not indulge in those behaviors that like make you crazy. And as uncomfortable as that was and as awkward and silly as I felt afterwards, the next day I was like, I don't feel crappy because I drank too much and did something embarrassing. I don't feel crappy because I ate a bunch of food I wasn't supposed to eat. I feel silly because I couldn't like be in a social situation, and I'll take that any day over like the other feelings. Yeah, I'll pass.
Thanks, Julia. Mm-hmm. Any burning desires on that one before we do another reading? So Lindsay has our final reading.
This is from For Today on March 11th. When old words die out on the tongue, new melodies break forth from the heart, and where the old tracks are lost, new country is revealed with its wonders. And that's from Rabindranath Tagore. What new territories have opened up for me since I came to OA? Abstinence is a country whose beauty and variety I could not have imagined in my most indulgent dreams. Here I am at peace with myself and with the world. I am free of food obsession, self-obsession, and other forms of mental enslavement. My words and actions reflect a balanced, rational mind free of delusion. Dependence on a power outside myself has released me from the whims and caprices of a hollow independence. Without erasing the past or ignoring the future, I am living in and enjoying every minute of the present. That is the new vista that opened up for me when I came to OA and let myself be persuaded to give up old answers, old ways of thinking and acting. The new melody in my heart is the most beautiful sound I have ever heard. For today, the process of recovering in OA is a journey from which I never want to return. I am open to the vistas that unfold today.
Thank you, Lindsay.
again open it up for sharing on this reading.
I'm Jan, compulsive overeater. And abstinence as a country, I've never really thought of that. How wonderful. What a country to visit. What a country to live and stay. And I also love how it says that being reliant on a higher power relieves self-obsession, food obsession, and other forms of mental enslavement. There's just such rich words. Mental enslavement is compulsive eating. You know, acting out in addiction is definitely mental enslavement. And my words and actions reflect a balanced, rational mind, free of delusion. I just, wow, this is really good. This is for today, March 11th. I just thought I'd say that again because this is one that I'd like to mark. And really, it's just so rich. It says that a new vista that has opened for me when I came into OA, and that's so true, is I wouldn't have a chance to even see what this country is about. And so, anyway, I'm really grateful. This is a great reading. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jan. Hi, I'm Heidi, food addict, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Hi. Let's see. 13 years ago, I went gluten-free and knew I had an allergy to certain products. And what's happened in the last decade is they've come out with all these new gluten-free alternatives, and I'm allergic to those too. So that's a learning experience. And so I like what that reading said, that it doesn't agree with me. Yeah, I mean, I can eat it. It's just doesn't work for me anymore. And I don't know, you know, when I was a child, if it worked at all either. So, sometimes it's a process of releasing and giving up certain food items. You know, I used to be 80 pounds heavier and I used to, get up and eat in the night. And, so there was an extra meal, and sometimes those calories and those food, well, they were disgusting because they're things you shouldn't mix together, but the calorie, I mean, it was bad. So for today, I don't have that in my life anymore. And I also agree that, that certain substances like alcohol, I didn't come in through the AA doors. I came in through the OA doors. And, somebody lightly said, why don't you go on probation from alcohol? And I'm like, well, sure, because it's not a problem. I can do that. It's not a problem. I don't have a problem with it. Why would that be a problem? I only do it 3 times a year. Well, I felt so good not having it in my life. And then when I did have it, I felt horrible. So that was a really good learning experience. And let's see, they have this thing out in society called growth mindset and, you know, a learning experience. But it's it's been a year and a half since, I've had a drink, and it's just really nice to have a boundary around it, because somebody else mentioned that the drink always led to more food. And that was for me too. So, but it also led to a mean Heidi the next day and just yuckies. So I'm grateful that, for some of these readings, they're really, inspiring and useful. And, thanks.
Compulsive overeater, sugar addict.
Hi, Becky.
I liked how it talked about how abstinence is such a great place to be. I just had a thought that I wrote down. I said, some of my worst days, my worst moments since starting this program have been better than anything, any of the best days and moments I had before this program. It's true, because it wasn't honest before this program. I could be myself. whether it's in or out of abstinence, I'm more honest, and that's important. Also, like, the abstinence is the gift that keeps on giving, because the flip side, the kind of blindfold I've had on is how bottomless of a pit relapse can be, and just have this false thinking that, well, I'll stop tomorrow. I'll stop binging tomorrow. This will be the last time. This is it. And, well, I can still do one more binge, one more cheat on my program, and it'll be okay. And I had a fellow say that I have one more relapse in me, but I don't know if I have another recovery in me. And that's scary, but it's absolutely true. So I like that abstinence is the gift that keeps on giving. It's really beautiful to hear this time of year, definitely with the holidays. So that's all I got for now. I'm Becky. Thanks.
Thanks, Becky.
I'm Kim Capasso Reader.
Hey, Kim.
I'm not really even sure what to say. I can't be profound right now, but the one thing I want to say is probably more than one, but this morning I was cleaning. And I'm not a clean freak at all, but it needed to be done. But I started to get really resentful at my husband and my kid that they weren't cleaning. And they don't, I have to ask. And that's good. I need to use my words. But they weren't even around. But what's just interesting to me, like I know certain things will trigger me. And I'm just new to abstinence. And I'm grateful to God that I'm even alive because I was absolutely insane in the not too distant past. But just the triggers, like I'm cleaning, I'm like, I'm hungry. I'm starving right now. And I had just had breakfast 20 minutes earlier. And it doesn't flabbergast me, but at one level it does how binging and eating just took over my life in these past few years. I got pissed off that I wasn't getting help cleaning the house. I was eating, and that was going to solve the cleaning the house problem. And I'm just blown away, but because certain triggers, like I know if I maybe go to a party and there's alcohol or something, that's a trigger. I mean, I know that. I have that conscious thought. But cleaning, really? And it's just been interesting this time how I have so many triggers that I couldn't have told you were triggers. Now, the flip side is I'm grateful that I'm even here to speak that, recognize that as a trigger, and not have to act on that trigger today, just for today. And I am just unbelievably grateful for that, and unbelievably grateful that there's a place to come. There was something else I was going to say, but it went out of my brain. Mm-hmm. So.
Thanks,
I'll pass.
Yeah, my name's Don. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Don.
And I keep running into this experience that I'm working on today in my recovery and my abstinence is that, like, what is it? And you guys keep spelling it out pretty clearly, and it's just that I'm not hearing it. And what I'm hearing now from myself is this trigger of feeling. Feeling is a trigger to go eat. Hunger is a feeling. And when I have a feeling, I want to eat. And so it's like if I did have a little bit of hunger after eating, well, then I have to stop that hunger. And I have to stop that feeling. And so on my to-do list today, I have feel. You know, it's just normal. But, you know, for some people it's normal. But for me, I need to be aware, awake for my abstinence to be real. I mean, this has a lot to do with my self-esteem, this holiday thing. And I'm so grateful years and years ago I had a therapeutic detachment from my family, so I didn't have to Well, I had an excuse. I had a reason. I had a therapist. I had somebody helping me go through this idea of detaching from this insanity. So now today, at least I can still just out myself going, yep, I'm not doing that party. But, you know, I can have my own party at home. A buffet is a party to me. So maybe party is that thing, that feeling that I have to work at, but it's, I don't really have problems. The annoying person that wants me to eat more, they go away. But I'm stuck with me and all that I have to deal with. It's not really that big of a challenge just to get past annoying people. It's me that I have to go home with. Anyways, that's all I got for now.
Amy Sugaratic Lamick. I was just reflecting. I guess I wasn't listening when the reading was happening about the country thing. That is so cool. And I've recently traveled. And it dawned on me, if abstinence is a country and I'm entering into it, then initially I have no idea about the customs, the language. And I feel uncomfortable because I have no points of where I know where I begin and where I started and that. And so, and that I was just thinking when I first came in, so I came into program and then, of course, I want to be abstinent because you said that that's what I'm supposed to do. So, of course, I'm good. So I'm going, yeah, I want to be abstinent. But I really didn't because I was so afraid of giving up the food. And so I really bought into the we of this program, which was difficult for somebody who didn't feel worthy of the we. I just felt like, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I'm sorry that I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm not right that I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was just so self-absorbed. And so I got to know people, and people said that when you give up the food, they talked about that moment when you realize the food is done until the next meal. And I don't know about other people, but that was so terrifying. The emptiness, I didn't know what you did with it. I felt like I didn't know how to function. It was so frightening. And that's where I really plugged into the we. I got those phone lists. They said, go through them, call everybody. And when you get to the bottom of it, go back to the top and call again to fill those minutes between that meal and the next meal. And if you can go to meetings, do that as well. And so I am more comfortable in the country of abstinence today because practice makes different. And I like that you guys are the residents of that country, and that's why I choose to hang out with you, because you remind me of the customs and that I like living here. By myself, other countries start looking appealing, because the ego's always there, my addiction is always there. I just want to acknowledge nobody initially talked about that fear. And I was so embarrassed how frightened I was when I wasn't indulging in the food. And so some kind person said, it will pass. You just have to walk through it, not with grace. And so, so I did a lot of that on my knees trying to get through the day, and eventually it got better. So thanks.
So we've heard a lot of rich, heartfelt sharing, and mostly about our abstinence. So I'm going to invite you to once more, we're just going to take a still, quiet moment to reconsider your abstinence in the light of all that we've heard and shared so far today. So as I did before, I'm going to say OA's approved statement on abstinence. Abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Just breathing in the idea of what abstinence means for you.
So we are going to use the power of writing again. You have another piece of paper. You should have a new clean piece of paper. If you don't, just raise your hand and we'll grab you one. So in the light of everything that's been said today, go ahead and write if you have any revision. And I'll set the timer for 2 to 3 minutes. Abstinence. What does it look like for me now? So how have today's readings and shares affected us and the way each define abstinence? Just in the relatively short time we have been here celebrating together. So we will go ahead and... Yeah. Peggy, would you like to read one? Okay. Thank you.
My abstinence means a chance to live free, a chance to live in the sunlight of the Spirit, a chance to be present to what God wants me to do, a chance to be excitable, and to help others, to love myself, to recognize God in others, clarity and ability to focus, hope, knowing that I belong.
Abstinence. What it looks like to me is being able to refrain from the food that makes me go crazy. Abstinence is a way for me to have sanity in my life.
Abstinence looks like avoiding trigger food or any other foods that are harmful to my body and not eating past the point of being full.
Great, thanks.
Only because my eyes are bad anyway.
It's small writing.
There you go.
Okay, let's see.
Abstinence for me looks like refraining from binging, honestly reporting my foods, and avoiding my alcoholic foods entirely.
Great, thank you.
And we'll do one more. Anybody? Don, you are Michelle?
Let Don do it.
Okay.
Oh, I thought I heard Don. All right. Abstinence, what does it look like for me? Log my food, no processed packaged food, no sweets, desserts, ice cream, etc. Calorie limits, weight, and weigh and measure, identify and abstain from sugar foods. Attend meetings, text and call others, provide service in small ways.
Great. Okay, so that was our first round, and now let's listen and see who would like to read one from our second round. Okay, great. Lindsay. Thank you.
For now, for today. Gluten-free, grain-free, alcohol-free, sugar-free, night eating-free, go to sleep. 1 to 2 fruit servings a day, mostly dairy-free. Behaviors, no driving and eating, stressed and eating, line through it, standing and eating, line through it, must pray, relaxed, eat slow, chew food, use napkins, silverware.
Abstinence for me now looks like honesty. Just being honest about my food to start one day, one moment, one bite at a time.
Thank you. Okay. Again, it's awareness, being aware. But maybe it includes defining abstinence over and over again and again. What would my meal be? Would my meal be, or my day be, if I ask myself what abstinence means, truly means? How much does it mean before I ate, prepared a meal, or prepared my food?
Creating and keeping clean, God-directed boundaries with food, kinds, amounts, times, etc. Honesty, gentleness and abundance and joy.
Can you just read one?
Abstinence, what does it look like for me now? Refraining from trigger foods, weigh and measure, attend meetings, text messaging, phone calling, providing service, refraining from alcoholic drinks, meditation, prayer daily, and journaling.
Abstinence. It's easier because it breaks open. That's from one of the readings. Hold on. Number six. Is there a seven? Great question. There it is. Okay. It's the format says we have until, so it's 2:36 right now. We're gonna just take until 2:50. To share on the written reflections we've heard some samples of, or on any other thoughts you may have about your abstinence. One last reminder is we're going to use the microphone. Okay.
Thank you. I'm Lindsay, a compulsive overeater. Hi. And it was interesting writing the second version of abstinence. And I don't know if it was on purpose. I doubt it coming from you. But or yes, it was. Your emphasis on action, the word action, like, oh, action, about, you know, action toward things. So I was, and I, my write, the second time writing, it was more God-centered instead of just, you know, what I'm doing. It was more what God is bringing to me, the, you know, I'm taking the action, but I wouldn't be able to do it without God's help type of thing. And so that was an interesting shift of my perspective of abstinence and focusing on the actions that God helps me do on a daily basis. And then in reflection about the holidays, I've been in sober in AA for over 30 years also, and it's hysterical when you tell the truth that when someone asks, you know, why aren't you drinking? I'm an alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I'm very honest. Usually I'm with people that know me in some way or the other. And I'm just like, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And they're like, oh, yeah, I need to cut down too, or something like that. Or and they ask if they see me not having pie after or whatever, not overeating at Thanksgiving or at a meal. They'll be like, oh, you're so good. And I'm like, no, I'm not so good. I'm really bad, actually. And it's... I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I have certain foods that are the same exact way, that I cannot eat sugar, I cannot eat flowers. I just want more. And he's like, yeah, me too. I mean, they'll say, it's amazing what people will say or identify mm-hmm. with if you're, for me, if I'm honest with them. And I don't, for me, it's not breaking anonymity. It's just carrying the message, you know, bluntly. But just being honest with, you know, for myself, and that feels important to me. I'm not good with, you know, subtle message, you know, like, oh, it doesn't agree with me. I feel for me, I'm not being completely honest, but I know there's degrees of honesty that is appropriate. I just tend to blurt out what like, the bottom line truth is for me. It's worked so far, or whatever. It feels good to me. And generally the holidays don't bother me. It's just another meal. I've heard that so many times. Mm-hmm. It's just another Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's just another Santa Claus morning, whatever. I mean, it's just another day. And it is amazing how different my plate looks from other people's plates. It's very different, but it's also amazing how little food I need now to be full and have enough. And to hear people afterwards saying how miserable they feel. I'm like, you know, I don't. And I'll say that. And I'm like, and I feel pretty good. And not to, like, push anybody else's buttons, but just to, again, carry the message of you don't have to feel stuffed and miserable after a joyful, gratitude-filled meal. So it's just, I'm grateful that I get to carry this message and experience this freedom from food obsession. Because I've been in that other place, you know, a year ago I was in that place of not to the extreme relapse, but just enough to be miserable and live in regret. And it's so nice not to live in regret. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for this meeting. Yeah.
I'm Carrie, compulsive overeater. I think for me, in listening to the different absences, the definitions, first I was just feeling how grateful I am that we each get to choose what our definition of abstinence is, and that dignity of having that choice. For me, I feel like what works is just to keep it simple. Bottom line, I have a food plan from my dietitian. I follow the food plan. I stick to the plan. And at night, at the end of the day, I text my sponsor. I have adhered to my food plan. And I think when I first came into program, I made it so complicated, just and beating myself up around like, I picked up because I didn't do my journaling. That has to be the reason. Or I picked up because I didn't make my third phone call. That has to be the reason. And so all of the tools of the program are there for me to utilize as I do the step work. And once I get through the step work, that's for me just living in a 10 and a prayer meditation 11 and working with others step 12. So for me, it's really the how do I continue to watch for my selfishness, my dishonesty, my resentment, my fears throughout the day that help me stay abstinent. Because if I'm not monitoring that selfishness, the fear, the dishonesty, then I'm going to want to go to the food. And I heard another member share, it's like when a feeling pops up, go to the food. And I've been there. It happens. It's going to keep happening. So how do I channel that and talk to somebody else about it? And that's what's keeping me abstinent today, is to really work step 10, 11, and 12. Thanks.
Okay, my name's Don, compulsive overeater, and I think what my struggles with abstinence is the fact that I'm struggling with abstinence, and it has something to do with this. I'm trying to get clarity with it and understand it, and so there's a lot of expectations on myself to get it right, and it's also a way of sabotaging because of frustration, low self-esteem, self-worth issues come up. And so I'm working with a sponsor and working with myself around making some room to be okay with just another meal, to be patient that it doesn't look like it's supposed to look yet. And I don't have the feelings. I should be farther along. I can be decades from another drink or drug, but abstinence, in all honesty, has taken me to whole new levels of honesty and recovery and program. So that's the frustration. Praying for patience, as my sponsor has gotten me to. I thought that was taboo. You don't pray for patience because then you will be forced to wait. And so it's hard to feel like you're in step one as a beginning instead of step one as a solution. So thanks.
Heidi, food addict, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
I don't know why I grabbed the microphone. I didn't realize, you know, that
the steps were so important. Don't laugh. I didn't realize that they were so important, and that my discomfort and my restlessness and my anger and my resentments and my fears and all that, I didn't realize that there was a solution to get rid of those too, that those were what really caused me to eat in the first place, that that the food was but a symptom, and that I can overwork, I can overshop, I can be the world's most perfect mom, so much patience sometimes, and I can be the great daughter. I can like really obsess about being super awesome at anything, and I have to like let all that stuff go and be a human being and not be super anything. And that my obsessions, they come out in other areas too. So I'm really grateful for the steps and steps 10, 11, 12. And the humility, the other thing I learned is, with the helps with abstinence, is that humility doesn't mean that as a person with that has been in an abuse situation as a child. The self-pity and the humility. That humility can be, for me, saying, you know, I'm cold, I'm going to put my coat on, or I'm cold, I'm going to ask for the heat to get turned up. And I have 500 hours of PTO, I'm going to take it because I deserve it. I earned it. And humility can be being proud of myself for one thing and then letting it go. Like, don't get the ego too much, and not to be too excited. I tend to get excited when I'm happy, and not to get too excited over something. Stop and calm down. I have a tendency to do that. So I've learned so much stuff that I guess I didn't know as a kid or as a food addict or as an addict that I didn't have in my knapsack of tools. So I'm grateful for that today. So thanks.
Thanks, Heidi.
Hi, I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater, bulimic.
Hey, Kathy.
Ironically, you know, in reflecting on this with abstinence, I feel like I have more freedom today in my abstinence than I ever had as a compulsive overeater, because I was always surrounded by guilt, feeling uncomfortable, just being miserable. And, you know, trying to follow one diet after another, and, you know, it was way too strict for me, and feeling like I was, you know, being restrained. And when I came into this program, it's your abstinence, your program. You decide what, you know, what is good for you, what works for you. And, you know, that really has helped me, because I made the decision when I first started to become abstinent, I wasn't going to eat anything I didn't like to eat. You know, every diet plan I've ever tried, there's something on there like I hate, right? And I was like, I'm just not going to, if I don't like it, I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat my trigger foods either. But in return, I'm going to make sure that I'm enjoying the things that I am eating. And that's really helped me a lot. A lot of people talk about the three meals, you know, having three meals a day. I don't function well that way. But I do pack my lunch, and it's got a certain number of calories in it, and I can graze through that. You know, if I'm hungry at 11 o'clock in the morning, I eat a little something out of there. If I'm not, you know, if I'm not hungry for all of it at lunch, I might have something by 2 in the afternoon. But as long as I stay within that perimeter, and I have the freedom to do that in this program, that, you know, because that's what works for me. But for other people, that's not a good idea, and nobody's telling you what you should or shouldn't do or what you can or cannot do. And that's what I love about this, because I actually feel more freedom with my food and my choices than I've probably ever felt before.
So for my definition of abstinence, I wrote two things, and I look at the first thing, and so now I'm looking at the second thing, which is kind of a condensation, and what it was considering food and not overeating. And I did that today. I found myself thinking about what I was going to have for lunch, and it kind of occupied my mind. And then I had lunch and I didn't overeat, but I didn't feel like I had got what I wanted. I think as far as the easier, softer way, certainly coming to meetings for me is not the easier, softer way. So I will keep coming back. Thanks.
So I'm going to go ahead and close that part, that portion of our meeting. And so thank you guys so much for being here to seek further down our path towards freedom from addiction and reclaim our lives through the deepening personal quest for an abstinence that works for you, one that may offer you the gift of serenity. Thank you for allowing me to be your leader today, and thanks to all the volunteers, Julia, for bringing the format, and if anyone can stay to help clean up, could I see a show of hands who would like to? Okay, great, we're all set. And for passing around the mic so that we can put this on our oadenver.org website, and for contributions that we can pay to the church and OA. Please remember our commitment to anonymity. Who you saw here, what you hear here, when you leave here, please let it stay here. After a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater in and out of this room, so we'll go ahead and close with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.